Is QuickBooks slowing your business down? Do you have challenges managing inventory, project profitability, or just getting paid fast enough? Get your business to a better place and graduate to NetSuite today. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need, all in one place, instantaneously. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in revenue, save time and money with NetSuite.
Join the over 24,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/info. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/info, netsuite.com/info.
Welcome to Shooting the Sports-ish, week 11, and whoa, is it quite the week. I am Tom, and I am joined by Teddy on this lovely ride we will take you on for NFL week 11. Well, Teddy, I've got to tell you, normally I wouldn't just jump right into everything. However, we do have some. The Detroit Lions have officially been relegated to the XFL. That is correct, folks. The Lions, after getting blown out 22-0, will play their games moving forward under the Rocks XFL. Teddy. In all reality here, the Lions get throttled by Carolina 20-0 on a third-string quarterback. Teddy, for my Lions friends in Detroit, can you explain to them why Matt Patricia should have a job now, a minute from now, later tonight, tomorrow?
I can't. You know, I honestly don't know that I can make a case for him in this case. You know, it was a long game for the Lions. Obviously couldn't really get much going in any facet of the game. PJ Walker did help him out in his debut, throwing two interceptions, one being in the end zone. But honestly, I was worried about this one with Teddy Bridgewater going down, but obviously I didn't need to, you know, so I'm pretty happy right now.
The XFL's PJ Walker steps in and smacks that Lions ass all over the field. The Lions with 185 yards of passing and yards of rushing, and my God. Can you just touch on how inept? I understand there's injuries on the Lions. Down a starting running back, down some wide receivers. I get it. I do. Your leading rusher in this game was Adrian Peterson with 18 yards. This was fundamentally an awful game plan, an awful scheme. And everyone there should join the rest of us in Michigan on the unemployment line. Teddy, I can't. I can't this week. This was the most inept coaching performance I'd ever seen.
Yeah, this one, honestly, when you see, as you mentioned, a third stringer, I guess he won the rights to be second stringer coming into this week. Usually when you see that kind of quarterback coming in, it's, you know, the defense starts salivating and they're like, oh, it's going to be a big game for them. But honestly, PJ Walker looked really good, all things considered. So that's a rough one. That's going to be a rough sell to keep the employment, as you mentioned.
You know, from the from the shoot standpoint, I bet Carolina in this game, and I did it yesterday, and I did it under the assumption Teddy Bridgewater was playing. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was a tad bit concerned. And then the game happened, and hey, I'm no longer concerned anymore because the Lions are just what the Lions are. They are not good. They are SOL. They are same old Lions. Teddy, I'm ready to move on to another crappy team, if that's okay with you.
Let's get to it.
The 1-9. Jacksonville Jaguar Cons were at home as they played the Pittsburgh Steelers, who just mollywopped them 27-3. It was a good football team versus a bad football team. I will not spend too much time on this. Ben looked average because he was on the road, but even Ben average put a beating on Jacksonville. Pittsburgh ran the ball down their throat. Jacksonville had no answer. Jacksonville at 1-9. The Steelers, however, more impressive at 10-0 now. Teddy, how many more weeks until the Steelers' wheels finally fall off and they drop a game here?
So I really think that there are going to be – this is kind of a cop-out answer, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be four opportunities now the rest of the season, right, which they only have like six games. So, yeah. Obviously, the Ravens on Thanksgiving, Thursday night, they have the night game coming up. Division rival, probably a win, but you can't look past them.
The Ravens team is toast.
It's fair. The Buffalo Bills game is going to be a close one. The Colts defense, as we saw, showed up when they needed to tonight, which we'll get to. And then actually what I was talking with my wife about when people are thinking about, oh, they're going to go undefeated because they go undefeated. With the way that Mike Tomlin and how methodical he is and the mantra of this team of every game, you know, getting to the goal of the playoffs and the Super Bowl.
Right.
I don't think Big Ben touches the field if they're 15-0 going into week 17 going, you know, against Cleveland. You know, I don't think he touches, you know, so I think they're going to go 15-1, you know, if they get to that point, in the sense that it's going to be Mason, it's going to be all their backups. They're just going to rest before they get to the postseason.
You know, Claypool continues his dominance against other teams, you know, first or second corner, depending on who's on them for the most part. In this game, though, Johnson with 111 receptions. Where was Juju, by the way?
So Juju has kind of been developed into a role that he is kind of like a almost a safety outlet, in the sense that he gets into like third and short, third and medium, and Ben is like, oh, let me get to Juju, you know. And so, but honestly, at the same time, he did his role. Like, if you ask him, you know, looking at kind of reports coming out of Pittsburgh, they're winning, you know, so he doesn't care, you know. So you have Deontay Johnson with 12 catches, 111 yards, like you mentioned. I mean, Juju was targeted only five times, came down with four of them. So, I mean, what they're doing is working. So I don't really think it's going to change.
Yeah, I mean, and nor should it, being undefeated, and I understand that route too. We stick around for a second over on that side of town, and our next game, we have the New England Patriots visiting the Houston Texans. This Patriot team's a mess. This Houston team was equally of a mess going into this game. Deshaun has not looked great at all, and he changed it in this game. Deshaun Watson in the air, 344 and two touchdowns. Deshaun on the ground, 36 and a touchdown. Deshaun Watson is everything New England fans want Cam Newton to be, and he can never be. I will say that. Cam went in here, threw one touchdown. That's what he does. New England loses to Houston. Deshaun looks good. Houston looks like they may have a little bit of momentum. Although if Houston can't figure out how to run the football, they absolutely are done. Teddy, more impressive in this game, Houston wins with only 55 rushing yards, or the fact that New England loses, putting up over 400 yards of offense?
I think it's going to be New England losing with the amount of offense, because, A, if you would have told me going into today that Cam Newton was going to throw for 365, I would have told you were nuts.
Right.
I know the Texans are bad, but if you would have told me he was going to account for 300 and, what's this math, 71 yards, I would have been like, damn, he ran for 150. You know, he ran for six.
Yep.
Like, this big asset of the game is that he runs. Like, obviously, today he was a phenomenal passer, you know, with everything kind of 365, a touchdown, he didn't turn the ball over.
Sure.
But at the same time, you're kind of taking, like, he didn't get to utilize his best asset or what he has been, you know, come to be known for. So, I mean, it's been tough, but I think, you know, we kind of had a memorial for the Patriots a couple weeks ago, and I still think that it's relevant. You know, obviously, them losing this game was awful for them, especially because we'll get to it in a little. Well, actually, in a little bit, the Dolphins did lose too, so it's not that bad. But you know, 4-6 going into the last six games of the season can't really feel good.
No, I mean they're as done as you can get. We gave the eulogy. It is what it is. We'll move on though to two football teams: one who is proving to be more frauds by the week, and the other one who just proves to me I have no idea what they are. As the Tennessee Titans travel to the Baltimore Ravens. Tennessee wins this game 30-24 in a shootout that most people didn't expect, to be completely honest here. The real question, Teddy, is Lamar Jackson done? And by done, I mean Baltimore 6-4. Lamar has not looked good at all. There seems to be a lot of miscommunication around that offense. On the other side of the ball, Tannehill does what Tannehill does, you know, around 250, two TDs and a pick. It's kind of every week. Then you have Derrick Henry, who does what he does, over 125 every week and a touchdown. Going back to this Baltimore Ravens team, however, where is your concern level if you're a Ravens fan now, 6-4 after 10 weeks? Sorry, 11.
I'm gonna see if I can kind of sum this up for how dire the straits are for the Ravens. Okay. Dez Bryant caught four passes today.
Who?
Exactly. Dez Bryant got activated and caught four passes today. And obviously, if he can, like, be a shadow of his former self, he's a great receiver. But when you have the 31st ranked offense or passing offense in the league and you aren't able to kind of control the ball and control the run late game, you're going to lose. You know, like, if you – because, I mean, Baltimore got – props for their defense. Derrick Henry, as we've said many times on the podcast, so I'm sure the Titans are listening. Thanks for listening. You got to feed Derrick Henry. Like, he has to carry the ball over 20, 25 times a game. They did 133 yards and a touchdown and a win. You know,
it's funny too, though, Teddy. It's funny you mention that because they didn't play that way in the first half. They didn't go to Henry ball until probably late in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. Tennessee needs to play more Henry ball. Yep. And again, as far as Baltimore goes, if you're shooting wide receivers in a barrel and you're picking them up off the streets, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I don't know. Your number one wide receiver is Marquise Brown, who was no catches, no yards on three targets. Luckily, they have Mark Andrews to kind of suffice in the receiving game. But in these kind of games, Lamar is going to have to get into the end zone either on the ground or he's going to have to be able to find passing and be productive through the air if they want to make a run. Otherwise, the Titans look good. I'm excited to see the Titans and Colts kind of come down to see who's going to win that division.
So we're gonna yeah. I mean, that'll be something. I think what ultimately may come down to is, will Derrick Henry be the back that breaks down the Colts later on? I don't know at this point. The Colts have pretty much shut down everybody.
Right.
It's neither here nor there. We can move on. The New York football Jets, trash Jets, visit the Los Angeles Chargers. Going into this game, I had a lovely colleague of mine, his name will not be mentioned, Tony, said the Jets would win this game straight up. And he took the Jets straight up. Teddy, I think the real question is, are the Jets going to win a football game? Now 0-10, 28-34, Los Angeles takes this one. I'm not going to break down the game too much. The question is, who are the Jets beating?
I don't think anybody. I don't know if you want to hit one of our fancy new buttons for, you know, to kind of relay this info, but right.
They're wishing
for some wins, because at this point, if you didn't hear, the Jets have officially been eliminated from playoff contention. Oh no. And so this season you watch at this point. I think Darnold probably could have played in at least this one, maybe the last one. They're just like, let's not get him more hurt. Just throw Flacco out there. It doesn't matter. Develop our guys, whatever. So, no, I don't think they win a game this year.
Fair enough. We won't spend any more time on them that nobody wants to hear anyway. We have two not very good football teams facing off next, and that was proven in today's matchup as the Dallas Cowboys visit the Minnesota Dalvin Cooks. Because I have nothing else to call Minnesota at this point in life anymore. Dallas squeaks out a victory here, 31-28. And as much as I said, I thought Ezekiel Elliott was at home on shutdown for the rest of the year. I mean, he showed up, not just his jersey, but he showed up. Had 103 yards on the ground. Andy Dalton did Andy Dalton things. 203 in the air, three touchdowns, one pick. Kirk Cousins did not Kirk Cousins things, throwing zero picks. and three touchdowns. Dalvin Cook did his job, 150 on the ground and a touchdown. So you're probably thinking to yourself, how did Minnesota lose this football game? Dallas had 180 on the ground total, and that's pretty much what did Minnesota in. Teddy, Minnesota at 4-6 in an awful, awful NFC North. However, with Green Bay there, with Chicago there, is Minnesota done now at 4-6?
Honestly, I still think so, even though obviously, you know, we have Green Bay to still talk about coming away with a loss this week, the Bears being on bye. I still don't think there's enough time, or granted, I don't know their schedule, I'll be honest, but I don't think there's enough time for them to make up the relevance, you know, that in the ground they need to be, you know, fan or playoff relevant this season. That being said, if I am the Vikings, you're 4-6 going into your last six, what we've mentioned. But this is probably the most well-rounded game they played all year. And unfortunately for them, it came against a bad team that they then lost to. So that doesn't really bode well. But you finally, they kind of finally figured out how to use Cook, Thielen, and Jefferson all together. And as you can see, like, it was very productive. It just wasn't enough because Zeke remembered how to football.
Yeah. Right.
I don't think but we'll see.
I think time is going to run out on them. I think their hourglass is expired. With that being said, I hope Cook stays healthy and puts up a lot of fantasy points for me. We move on to Mile High as the Miami Dolphins. The Tua Tagovailoa Miami Dolphins visit the Denver Broncos. Biggest story in this game is Tua gets pulled. Coach said he wasn't playing well. It goes 11 of 20 for 83 yards and a touchdown. They put Ryan Fitzpatrick back in, 12 of 18, 117 in a pick. I think the question to me here is you pulled Fitzpatrick too early in the season, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinions, to put Tua in. Then you put Tua in and you give him a leash that has two chain links on it. Is this going to be good for the rookie long term as the Dolphins lose this game 13 to 20 in Denver? Teddy?
So, yeah, I don't think it's going to be good for the rookie. I think that Brian Flores so far has made a strong case for Coach of the Year. But I think today, in kind of handling this quarterback situation, would be a blemish on that. Obviously, it's probably not going to be factored into the actual, you know, award and everything. But I don't think you pull the rookie. You know, obviously, hindsight's being 20-20. But I think everybody was kind of shocked when he came out after the game and said, hey, he was pulled because of performance. And if you look at his numbers, like, sure, he had 9 incompletions, wasn't really getting the ball down the field, did throw a touchdown. He got sacked 6 times. Of the 3 quarterbacks that played in this game, he's the only one that got sacked, and he got sacked 6 times. His offensive line might just hate him. You know, like, that's might be what it is. But I think that you should have let the rookie play it out. Again, hindsight is 20-20, so I can understand the coach trying to put his team in the best position to win in that moment. But now looking back, Tua should have stayed in the game.
I look back to, and I'm with you, I would have definitely left him in. I think it was some growing pains and some learning experience he could have gained from that. You know, we go to this game with Tua, and I go to another game where we have Jumbo Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals traveling to Washington, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Jumbo Joe faces Washington's front four. Well, if you know anything, we know Cincinnati's front line isn't very good. Washington's front four is very good. And now we know Joe Burrow is out for the rest of the season with a torn MCL and ACL. He just got destroyed. He took a high-low hit, and that was it. Teddy, I'm not going to ask you if the hit was questionable at all, because I think that's up to someone's discretion and how you view the hit. What I will ask you is it safe to say Cincinnati has got to lock up a solid line for him when he does return? Otherwise, you're really playing with fire.
So that's kind of the weird thing is, like, maybe ESPN just doesn't have the stat updated correctly, but, like, he got hurt, obviously, on this hit, but it wasn't sacked. You know, so whether or not it's like giving him more time, I guess, but I still think that they do need to now look at updating or upgrading their offensive line, getting him protected, because I do think he's the future. He's definitely shown this year that he has the potential to be your franchise guy, you know, for the foreseeable future. And so I do think that's going to be like protecting him is going to be a very, should be a very high on that Christmas list if wishes were fishes, you know, segment if you are a Bengals fan or if you are on the Bengals. They need to lock it up. But at the same time, like, I don't want to say it was like a freak accident from the hit, because I think it was just honestly bad circumstance. But,
sure,
you know, I think I'm more concerned with the run game when Joe Mixon wasn't around. Again, you said it was up against, you know, Washington's front four, but or even front seven. But
I mean, Detroit was able to run on them. So, I mean, Cincinnati should have been able to. A.J. Green scores his first touchdown since 2018. With Jumbo Joe being out the rest of the year, is A.J. Green's time in Cincinnati officially done?
If I'm him, I would want it to be. You know, right? Like, I don't think that he should want to come back. A, because as bad as that sounds, you've got your first touchdown from the rookie all season.
Yep.
When Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins have both been balling out most all season. Tyler Boyd did better in this one than T. Higgins did. But for me, go to a team that actually wants you, which sounds bad, but go to a team that will actually use you for what you are, and not that, like, you're the wide receiver three on this team. You know, like, go to somewhere that you're going to be more valued, that you can get more involved, and that you can be the guy if that's what you're looking for, and try to get on a winning team. Like, there's the Bengals are still not going to be competing next season. You know, so try to, I would say he is probably done, but I would have still rather the Bengals traded him at the deadline. I don't know what they were doing there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you here, and I agree completely. But we move on to our next game, and I'll ask you this, and I'll say it Jeopardy style. NFL quarterbacks for 500. This NFL quarterback over $32 million per season and underperforms each and every week. I give you Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles traveling to the Cleveland Browns. Teddy, what is Philly going to do with Carson Wentz? 235 today, two picks again, two touchdowns. It is what it is. He this season has been mediocre at best. And by the way, Philly loses again to Cleveland, 17-22.
However, losing, still being atop of their division because of their tie.
I don't even want to talk about it.
So, but as to, like, to your point, he's got to be thankful that they're not paid based off QBR. For Carson Wentz, QBR of 20 in this game. Baker Mayfield scorching ahead to a QBR of 24.5. So thank God they can run the ball. Or were able to run the ball. This was just, it was an ugly game. It was ugly weather in Cleveland again. Congrats. It's in the Midwesty Northeast, you know. So that's just kind of what happens. Carson Wentz, underperforming, terrible. He was honestly, like, one of these touchdowns was just him driving the field, getting a late touchdown. The score made it look a lot closer than it was, right? It basically was 22-10 until that late touchdown. He threw a really bad interception, way through two of them, but one of them was really bad. And so I think Eagles fans are probably going to be over Carson Wentz, but I don't really know what to do because you just paid him a whole bunch of money.
Sure did. You sure did. You are going to be in cap hell for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're Philly fans. My caring level is not very high. I'm sorry, guys. Mm-hmm. We'll move forward. The Atlanta Falcons traveled to the New Orleans Saints, who don't have Drew Brees at quarterback. So they're obviously going to start Jameis Winston. Oh, no. No, they didn't. The Taysom Hill.
I was about to say,
The Lions old quarterbacks here. Yeah. The Taysom Hill New Orleans Saints beat the Atlanta Falcons 24-9. Atlanta just mailed it in. You're 3-7. Taysom Hill didn't look amazing by any means, but didn't lose them the game. 284 total yards, two touchdowns on the ground, none in the air. Matt Ryan, no touchdowns. two picks, 19 of 37 with a 19.1 QBR, Teddy. Has Matt Ryan's time in Atlanta come to an end?
Sadly, I don't think so. I think that Atlanta is going to look to draft the future of the Falcons this year, but I think that they're going to go the Patrick Mahomes route where he sits behind the veteran for one more year. I don't think that they start 2021 with a rookie quarterback, although they should, and I don't think they bring in anybody. So I think Matt Ryan's going to have another year. He did get sacked 8 times, so he might not make it another year if that keeps happening.
You better hope they don't play Washington towards the end of the year.
But yeah, and then this one, we knew the Falcons were bad, but I didn't know that they were going to be make Taysom Hill look good bad. It was funny to me that people were calling for Jameis Winston in the first quarter and into the second because Taysom didn't look great. And then he had 2 rushing touchdowns and won them the game. So it was definitely interesting game for them. But, I mean, you can put this one on Matt Ryan. Obviously, he didn't play very well. Todd Gurley also only had 8 carries and ran for 26 yards. There you go.
Well, our top game of this week. The Green Bay Packers visiting the for real Indianapolis Colts defense, even though they let up 31 points today. In a game in which I thought Green Bay would not only cover and win, they not only lose and don't cover. 31-34, Packers lose to the Colts. The Colts now 7-3. The Packers now 7-3. Aaron Rodgers, 27-38, 3 in the air, 1 pick. Phil Rivers, 288, 3 in the air, also 1 pick. Not a lot going on for the ground total for the Packers. 66 yards on the ground, whereas the Colts stuck it to them. And they finally let Jonathan Taylor carry the football.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah, I got to look up that middle name for him. had 22 touches on the ground. He was targeted 4 times. Caught all of them. He had a good game. He had a real good game for the Colts. And I think if you're looking at the outside, somebody who can make this Colts team scary on offense, I mean, he gets going on all cylinders, which is kind of the direction that he's going. Eddie, what surprised you in this game and what didn't? And again, I'll say it. The Colts defense, even though they let up 31 points, still was able to shut down Green Bay in the second half and make the adjustments when it mattered.
Right. I don't know if you could even point to a better halftime adjustment that we've seen this season. In the sense, if you're looking at it, Green Bay went into halftime up 28-14 and only kicked a field goal in the fourth quarter. Right. So, like, whatever they did during halftime, I don't know if they were drinking like Michael's Secret stuff, like they were facing the Monstars, but it worked. You know, so keep doing that if you're Indy. Things that were kind of surprising in this one, the outcome. I still thought, obviously, the Colts kind of vaunted defense. I still thought Aaron Rodgers was going to discount double check his way to a victory, especially when it went to OT. That's like prime Rodgers, you know, and it didn't go that way. Other things, this one kind of rounds out my cold takes of the week where I thought Zeke was done. I thought Melvin Gordon was done. He had 2 touchdowns in the Broncos game. I thought Jonathan Taylor was done, and he didn't get in the end zone, but 22 carries for 90 yards sure helped. You know, so I was surprised that Aaron Jones wasn't given more carries, even though, you know, especially coming out of half. And, but I don't think anything else in the receiving core of Green Bay, you know, surprised me. If we're talking about places AJ Green needs to end up, sub Green Bay. But at the end of the day, again, the AFC South now with the Colts and Titans at 7-3. Going to be a good one to see kind of how that one ends out. The Packers, I still think, are going to be fine in the NFC North. I think the Bears, as you are very aware and kind of agree, are very overrated. So I think that the Packers still win their division and will look to shake some things up in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago's fraud. So we're gonna hit on some of those next games for Week 12 momentarily. Please, if you're listening and you like everything, please hit the subscribe button down below. It would definitely do us a favor. Please click like. Let us know what you think. Teddy, next week opens on Thanksgiving, one of my favorite football days of the year, because every year the whole family gets to witness the embarrassment that is the Detroit Lions. Houston travels to Detroit. Deshaun Watson gonna have a feast on Thanksgiving versus the Lions, whose defense is awful, whose offense is hurt, whose offense probably won't be playing. Yet somehow Vegas says, you know what? We're going to open with Detroit as a 2-point favorite.
That's what they were against Carolina.
Give me Houston. Give me Houston money line. Give me Houston to cover 10.5.
I don't know if I'd go 10.5, but I agree with everything else. Give me Houston.
The Washington football team visiting the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas is a 3-point dog. I'm sorry, 3-point favorite to the Washington football team on Thanksgiving. Teddy, call me crazy. I'll take the 3 points and I'll take Washington. Andy Dalton doesn't make it out of this football game.
Yeah, that front seven is going to be very brutal for him in that beaten up kind of Cowboys team. Yeah, I like Washington in this one.
We've got to pick them. The Las Vegas Raiders visit the Atlanta Falcons. Give me Vegas and a very easy, quick decision for me, Teddy.
I agree. Give me Vegas. I'm mad you skipped my Thanksgiving night game with my second team, the Steelers.
We were getting there. For whatever reason, the site I'm at hits a blistering. No, let's go back to Turkey Day. The Baltimore Ravens visit the Pittsburgh Steelers. The line already moving up. Pittsburgh now a 3.5-point favorite. Trends say they should hit almost 5 by Thursday. And you can take all that 5, and I will take Pittsburgh.
Give me Blitzburgh.
In another pick'em this week, the Arizona Cardinals travel to the New England Patriots. This spread will not be a pick'em when this game starts. This spread will be Arizona, probably a field goal favorite, I would guess. And I'll take Arizona in all of it. Kyler Murray has a bounce back game and just destroys New England's middle of their defense.
I agree. Yep. Give me Arizona, especially with the extra rest.
In a game that I'm sorry America has to witness next week, the New York football Giants travel to the non-Joe Burrow Cincinnati Bengals. The Giants are a 5.5-point favorite.
Yeah, give me the Giants, even though I know you're trying to set it for dramatic effect. Yeah, I'll take the Giants.
43.5 is your over-under. Give me the under. I'm not touching either team because I don't think either one's scoring. Cleveland visiting Jacksonville. Cleveland is a 6-point favorite going to Jacksonville. Teddy, I'll make it simple, make it clear. Cleveland is going to win. And both those backs should have a good day, and Baker should be able to play in weather that hasn't been raining in 35 next week.
Yeah. Nah, not the Browns. Yeah. No. What do you got in that one?
I'm taking Cleveland.
Yeah, I guess. I don't like it, though. It makes me feel icky.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. Don't feel icky for too much longer. We have the Carolina Panthers visiting the Minnesota Vikings, who absolutely have to get a win here. Carolina, if they play XFL football, will probably get destroyed by Minnesota because they're much better than Detroit. Teddy, I'm taking Minnesota. Give up the points.
Give me Dalvin Cook. I don't care what the line is.
That's right. Because let me tell you, if CMC didn't play this week, he's not playing next week. Mm-hmm. Tennessee visits Indy in the game you were talking about where points may be at a premium. And here's how much Vegas feels points will be at a premium. We have no over-under yet because it was polled. Indy is a 4-point favorite versus Tennessee right now. I will take Tennessee. I will take the 4 points.
I'll take Indy in this one. I think they limit Derrick Henry enough that Tannehill can't throw the ball.
Okay. The Los Angeles Chargers visit the Buffalo. Josh Allen fighting Bills through tables. 5.5 points. Bills are favored here. Oh, I hate this game so much. Teddy, you want to hit me with it?
I'm going to take the Bills because I think that even if the Chargers have a great game, they're going to blow it in the fourth quarter and the Bills are going to come up with a win.
The over-under right now is sitting at 51.5. I'll take the over on this game. I don't care for either team.
I agree.
Miami traveling to New York. They're scheduled to face the Jets. I can't even say play anymore. Do the Jets really play? Miami giving up 7 points on the dot right now. I will take Miami. You can give up whatever you want to.
Give me Miami. No matter who the starter is, no matter if they go Tua or if they go Fitzmagic, give me Miami.
NOLA visits Denver. The Taysom Hill Fighting New Orleans Saints visit the Denver Broncos in Mile High. New Orleans giving up 6 points. Give me Denver and the 6 points, please.
I would agree. I don't think that he has nearly as much fun running against the Denver team.
The San Francisco 49ers, that I have no idea who's even left on their team at this point, travel to the Los Angeles Rams. Yes, the 49ers, who are the only team to lose on a bye week, losing six players, will travel to the Rams. Rams are a 6.5-point favorite. I will lay the points. I will take the Rams.
Give me the Rams.
Kansas City travels to Tampa in a game where I want to sit here and tell you all about the over that I'm going to take. Doesn't even have one because it was pulled when it hit 60. Kansas City -3 at Tampa Bay. Teddy, there's going to be a lot of points scored in this football game.
There will be. I still think Kansas City comes out on top.
I would agree with you. Kansas City comes out on top probably, and I'm going to take the over blind.
Fair enough.
Chicago travels to Green Bay. Green Bay in an 8-point favorite versus Chicago because, again, Chicago's not very good. Don't look at their record. I'm going to take Green Bay. I'm going to take them in a revenge game. I think Rodgers goes off at home.
I agree. I will say that the revenge games we've called haven't been too revengey.
The Aaron Rodgers games that I've called have all been wrong this year, by the way, including this week. So, yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
Then we have Monday Night Football. The Seattle Seahawks travel to the Carson Wentz $32 million Eagles. Seattle is a 6-point favorite. You can lay the six. I will take Seattle.
I don't care how bad Seattle's defense is. Give me Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, if Carson Wentz ever wanted to have a bounce-back career, it'd be against this Seattle defense, I think, though, because they are not good. Teddy, week 11 in the books. Is there anything you wanted to hit on before we get out of here?
Hit me with that breaking news drop real quick.
Uh-oh.
As we are ending the podcast, just to give you an update on Sunday Night Football. Start of the second quarter, the Raiders are actually up 14-7 on the Chiefs. Derek Carr has not had an incomplete pass yet. 6-for-6 for 106 and a touchdown. Should be a good one.
That Chiefs defense is not good. Nope. Until next week, I'm Tom. That is Teddy. Thank you for joining us on Shooting the Sports-ish NFL Recap. Please, again, if you like the show, click like and subscribe below. Thanks to Thrive Fantasy. We are out of here.